Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Picture this scene for me, if you will. It's a hot summer's day. The sun is beating down on you, and the humidity is so high that you step outside and it feels like there's a wet blanket draped over you. The moment you leave the house, your skin begins to glisten because it's just that hot. And then you look around you, and there's no shade to offer any relief as far as the eye can see, and you're just so hot that you feel like you're going to melt. But then you hear this sound. Do 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 do. It's an ice cream truck. And there's no more beautiful sound in all the world. I remember as a child how I reacted when I heard that sound of an ice cream truck in the middle of summer. I grew up in a town when that ice cream truck would only come around maybe once or twice in the entire summer. But when my brother and I were outside and we heard that music playing in the distance, we'd run inside and get some money from our mom and then wait at that curb, looking around in all directions, hoping to see it come around the corner. I look back at my childhood and I remember that sound, and it was such a beautiful sound to an 8-year-old boy. There was another similar tradition in the town that I grew up in that happened during the summers. For many summers, as I was growing up, the police department tried different sorts of techniques to get children to embrace police officers rather than be scared of them. And so for a series of about 3 summers, whenever police officers would be driving through neighborhoods and see children playing outside, they would pull over and hand out free baseball cards. And so when my friends and I were outside playing and we'd see a police car driving through the neighborhoods, we'd throw down that baseball bat or football and start running down the streets shouting, "Baseball cards! Baseball cards!" As I look back at my childhood, I remember this beautiful sound of an ice cream truck in the summer. I remember this beautiful sight of free baseball cards in the form of a police car driving by. And it brings back all of these great memories. In the verses that we're considering today from Isaiah, God talks to us about something else that is beautiful as it approaches. He says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news." God also tells us that this applies to us as well. That you too have the chance to have beautiful feet. And that's because God gives you a beautiful opportunity. This picture that Isaiah puts before us today of beautiful feet on top of mountains, it's a picture that we're not all that familiar with. But I'm sure to the people of Israel that Isaiah was preaching to, I'm sure it made perfect sense. Because in a time long before cell phones or email messages, when some sort of news had to be transported to some place or another, it was carried by foot. And most often, when these messages needed to be carried to a city nearby, it had to do in times of war. Often after a battle was fought out in the plains outside of a city, after the battle was done, they would send a messenger to run back to the city walls to tell the women and children who were waiting there what had happened out in the fields. Perhaps the most familiar story or account of this sort of messenger is the story of the first marathon. The story goes that the city of Athens was at war with this great and powerful country of Persia. And they fought this battle outside of a city called Marathon. And through some superior tactics, the Athenians, even though they were vastly outnumbered by the country of Persia, won a victory there at Marathon. And so they sent a man named Pheidippides to run all the way back to Athens to tell them of this victory and what had to be done next. And so Pheidippides ran 26.2 miles at a dead sprint, we're told, and got back to that city of Athens and told them that they had won, defeated the Persians, and then immediately dropped down dead. Although it's a sad ending to that story, just think of the thousands of races that are run in this man's honor each year. And the fact that we remember this man Pheidippides even thousands of years after this took place shows how important his mission really was. This man was remembered and honored with these marathons that are run to this day, all because he was the messenger that brought this good news. I'm sure this is the picture that was in the Israelites' mind as Isaiah spoke these words to them. And immediately they would be brought back to that time when they were standing on those city walls with their brothers or husbands or fathers fighting out in the fields nearby. And they would strain their eyes over those mountains, hoping to see some sort of glimmer of hope. And then they would see that messenger running over the mountains. And as he got closer, maybe they could see the smile on his face and then finally hear his shouts that they had won. That their family was alive, that their people were saved, that their city wouldn't be destroyed. And there was no more beautiful news in all the world than that news of victory. This picture that Isaiah puts before us today, it's something that we're not familiar with now. But the feeling that we get when we receive good news, now that is something we understand. Especially since it seems like around us all we ever hear is bad news these days. Whether it's crime or more bad downturns in the economy or natural disasters throughout our world, it seems like you turn on the news and bad news is all around us. And then you add to that the bad news that comes into each of our individual lives that is unique and yet still important. Whether it's a recent death in the family or a bout of unemployment, sickness, or just trouble at home, it seems like bad news is all around every corner. But the worst news is something that we have always innately known, and yet time to time we're reminded of just how bad it really is. The truth is that we were born into defeat. From the time our first parents, Adam and Eve, fell into sin, we've all been headed to the same path, that path to destruction. And our own actions haven't done anything to derail us from this path or improve our position. Instead, we just aid ourselves on this journey. Truth is that many times, if we look at the bad news that's in our lives, often we can look back to a specific sin that we've committed that led to us being at this point. And whether the bad news that we have, whether sickness or trouble at home that comes into our life, whether it's because of our own actions or not, the truth is this, that all bad news is a result of one thing. It's all because of sin. And that's what makes this message of victory so beautiful. Because in a world of defeat, there came a man of victory, our Savior Jesus. For once, there was one who wasn't born already defeated. And when the devil or the world or anyone else tried to derail him from his path and bring him into defeat, Jesus would not be tempted. And then when Jesus hung on the cross and gave up his life and died on that cross, when all the world looked and saw that Jesus appeared to be defeated, even his disciples thought so, that's when Jesus was snatching us from the jaws of defeat. Because as Jesus died on that cross and washed away all of our sins, he took us from the path of destruction and placed us in our homes in heaven. And then Jesus proved that he was victorious over all of his enemies when he rose from the dead and showed that even death was defeated. Because of all that Jesus has done, we now are children of God. Redeemed and washed clean in Jesus' blood, we are beautiful people to God, holy in his sight because of Jesus. So you are beautiful people who also have a beautiful message. Because the wisdom of this world really has no comfort to offer when bad news comes into our lives. Usually the best it can do is to say, look on the bright side, or things are sure to get better soon, or at least you have your health until that too disappears. But you have comfort that overcomes all that. Because there is no greater news than God so loved the world. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he washed away the sins of the entire world. Each and every one of our sins have been paid for, and so you have a message to share with each and every person in this world. That every person you meet, you can say to them that they have a God who loves them so much that he was willing to come to this earth and die so that they could be with them forever. You are beautiful people, redeemed by God, with a beautiful message to share, and when you put those two things together, that's when you get beautiful feet. Let me give you an example. I want to tell you about my friend named Walt. A few years back, I was serving my vicar year or my intern year in a church nearby Nashville, Tennessee. And as I was serving my vicar year, learning under a pastor there, I was helping in the mission and ministry of that church there. A couple weeks into my vicar year, I was doing what we called follow-up visits, where we would go and visit someone who had expressed some sort of interest in our church. And there was a lady named Fran who had a brother who was Lutheran, and before he had died, she promised him that she'd check out a Lutheran church someday. And so when one of our members knocked on her door and said they were from Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church, she said, "Sure, I'd love to hear more." So there I was, a couple weeks into my vicar year, knocking on her door, but instead of Fran answering the door, it was Walter, and he was a completely different story. Walter had never gone to church before in his life as he was growing up. And when he graduated from high school, he enlisted in the Navy and fell into many of the temptations that you might associate with sailors. He became an alcoholic, lived a very rough life, and really was just far too busy for God all of his time in the service. Once he got out of the Navy, thankfully, he got sober and then got his education and then found himself just to be too smart for God, too smart for religion nonsense. So there I was, knocking on his door. And I said, "Hi, I'm Nick. I'm from Christ Our Savior Church. I heard you wanted some more information about our church." And he said, "You must be looking for my wife," turned his back and walked to the back of his house and left me standing with the door open, not knowing what to do. Thankfully, just a few seconds later, Fran came walking by. I told her who I was, and she invited me in, and we talked. 3 times I went over to the house, the exact same thing happened. Walter would say something cold or rude or made it very clear he wanted nothing to do with God, nothing to do with our church. 4th time I went over to their house, I brought an invitation to our Bible information class, or a catechism class for adults. And for some reason that probably God only knows, Walter came to that class too. Maybe he was curious, maybe he wanted to make sure Fran wasn't getting into some sort of cult or something like that. And yet in one class, in 1 hour, everything changed. If he didn't look exactly the same, I would have thought he was a completely different person. But that's all the Holy Spirit needed to change Walter's heart. For the first time in his life, he heard about a God who loved him. He heard about a forgiveness that was free and full and complete. The first time he heard about his Savior, Jesus. And that's how powerful this beautiful message of Jesus is. To change a person's heart from death to life in just one moment. A couple of years after Walter first came to that class, I got to go back to that church in Tennessee and preach there and help with an outreach effort. When I did, Walter was still there, sitting in those chairs. In fact, in the 2 years since he first came to that class, Walter had missed church only twice. And both times he called the pastor on the Thursday before that weekend saying why he wasn't going to be able to make it to church on that Sunday. That's crazy, isn't it? That's how powerful the Holy Spirit is. Someone who wanted nothing to do with God and hear nothing about a church now can't get enough of it. And that message, that beautiful message of Jesus changed Walter's life. And really, it did more than that. It changed his eternity. And if that wasn't enough, if witnessing that sort of miracle wasn't enough, the power of the Holy Spirit, from that encounter, I too got to have beautiful feet. Because to Walter, I was that messenger running over the mountaintops. When he expected to hear more bad news, instead I was telling him news of victory. That his Savior Jesus loved him and died for him and promised him a home in heaven too. That's why I also am so excited about the mission congregation that our national church body has decided to start in Lafayette, Indiana, where I'm privileged to serve right now. I don't know if I've met the next Walter yet there in Lafayette, though I have some people who I think might be him. Here's what I do know. And I pray that God will use me and the members that are there in Lafayette to share the message of victory with the people in Lafayette who need to hear it. And I don't know many of you, I don't know any of you by name or where you've been or what you do, or if you've gotten experience this miracle of the Holy Spirit changing someone's heart from dead to alive in Christ. But here's what I know about you. that there will be a time in each one of your lives when God will bring someone else into your life who's heard only bad news all their lives. Whether it's from the world around them or from their homes or just their own conscience telling them that they aren't right with God. And at that time, God can use you to share that beautiful message of Jesus with them. And then you too have beautiful feet. You too are that messenger running over the mountaintop saying, you are alive in Christ, your victory is already won, Jesus is your Savior too. That's not the only reason that we share this message of Jesus, just for the way that we're perceived here in this world. It's more than that. What makes it all worthwhile is that one day we too will share a beautiful home. Because of all that our Savior Jesus has done for us. I know that one day I will be in heaven with my friend Walter and with all of you and whoever you share this beautiful message of Jesus with. And that's what life is ultimately all about. Going through this life, meeting as many people as we can that we're going to spend eternity with in the next life. Because you are beautiful people. Redeemed by God, washed clean in Jesus' blood, with a beautiful message to share, and that's what gives you this beautiful opportunity. The privilege to share this message of Jesus, the best news in all the world, with people who are dying to hear it. And by the grace of God, we will have more and more of these opportunities and take advantage of these chances to share the message of Jesus with the world. Until finally we reach that beautiful home next to our Savior's side in heaven. Amen.